Welcome to A Time of Hope. As is normally the case, this program contains highlights from our previous Sunday service, which was a special service at our California United Church of Christ because we welcomed our new pastor, Reverend Russell Cobb. It was also our Veterans Day service, and our service began with that beautiful patriotic hymn, America the Beautiful. Home, the Arms of God, is by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. Our first two scripture lessons are read by Alan Martinson. It's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Moses, Life Lessons for Us All by Pastor Cobb.
The first reading this morning comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 through 12. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the almighty power and all the great and terrible deeds which Moses wrought in the sight of all Israel. This ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes to us this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater than wealth, than treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. This ends the second reading.
Our third scripture reading is found in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. It's good to be here this morning. If you're a guest, there's a card in the front in the pew in front of you. If you'd like to fill that out and turn that in. If you have a prayer concern that you'd like to put on there, you can do that, and that'll get to me as well. I want to say thank you to Alan and Jenny and the choir. You know, you think you don't sound very well, and when the choir's right behind you, you sound awesome when you sing. So I wish everybody up here could experience that one time. But this morning, we're going to be looking at Moses. But before we do that, I would like, this is a special weekend. My grandpa, Ed, served in World War II in Okinawa, fought on Okinawa. Betty's grandpa fought in Europe. In World War II, my uncle Ronnie, my mom's brother, fought in Vietnam. We'd like to just say thank you. If you're a veteran, if you would please stand so we could just honor you today. I had a great conversation with Jerry this morning about his service. And I know Lynn over here. Look at all these people here that serve. So let's just give them a round of applause. I know Morris Berger and some of his family are at a special veteran ceremony today in Jeff City. So that's why they couldn't be here with us, because they're helping out with that. So again, thank you for being here this morning. In your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, is an outline of the sermon. If you want to follow along, there's some blanks in there to fill in if you want to do that. And so I'll try to do that every Sunday so you can take something home with you to remind you of the sermon. And so also we've got the young people in confirmation class filling out their own sheet for that as well. But I hope to do that every Sunday that I can. How many of you watch the Ten Commandments every year at Easter? Or have been down to Branson the last couple years to see Moses at the Sight and Sound Theater? You know, Moses' story has something for everyone. For a young child, for a young adult, middle-aged, retired, or a senior saint. He was given up by his parents. He was raised by his foster parents with a little help, of course, from his real family. He lived in wealth and power. He was impulsive. He made a life-changing mistake. He was a middle-aged married man with children working the same job day after day. He was taking care of sheep for over 40 years. He was ready to retire. But that's when God called him to something very, very special. We all know the image of Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. Isn't that what we think of when we think of Moses? Powerful and awesome, defiant, standing up to Pharaoh, splitting the Red Sea, and destroying Pharaoh's army in spectacular fashion. And of course, the beard. Who cannot forget Charlton Heston's beard flowing in the wind during the Ten Commandments? But when we read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we find little nuggets, little glimpses that gives us a different view of Moses. Let's read a few of those. I think they're in your bulletin this morning. Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. That's not something I think about first thing when I think about Moses, but he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Then Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Think about your closest friend and how you converse with them and tell them some of the most intimate details of your life. That's how God interacted with Moses. And then we read this verse earlier. Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. I love that last phrase. So there's much more to Moses than the images and the movies and the plays after we read those verses. My prayer as we look at Moses very quickly this morning is that we will take away some life lessons that will help us navigate and overcome the struggles that we encounter in this life. I'm going to save you the $40 of going down to Branson to watch Moses. I'm going to save you the 4 hours of watching the Ten Commandments on ABC, or even all the time it would take to read the four books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I'm going to try to cover Moses' life in less than 10 minutes. If someone's got a watch, all right, you can start it right now. We'll try to get it done. If we don't, I've got $2. Lynn's taking care of me right over here. The first 80 years of Moses' life is in Exodus chapter 2. Go right there and you cover the first 80 years. The rest of Exodus and the next three books give you the next 40 years. He lived in luxury. He killed an Egyptian for harming a Hebrew. He then ran to the wilderness and spent 40 years there. He meets his wife. He becomes a shepherd. He has a few kids and settles down into a regular routine of married life and working to provide for his family, just like many of us here this morning. Then comes the burning bush, where everything changes for him. God calls him out of his regular lifestyle and calls him to something special. He then goes and has his battle with Pharaoh, 10 plagues. He sets the Israelites free after the last plague. The death of all firstborn sons, all lives, firstborn of all livestock, all die unless they have the blood of the Passover lamb above their door. We have the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh's army. Moses even wins a battle by just keeping his arms raised with that staff that God gave him. And when his arms would start to tire, men just came up and they propped his arms up so they could win this battle. We have the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. When the cloud lifted, they moved. When the cloud came down, they stayed. We have the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32, and the new Ten Commandments after Moses got upset and broke the first set in chapter 34. But then we come to the fateful decision in Numbers 13 and 14. We send out the 12 spies. 10 were bad, 2 were good. The 10 come back and say, yep, the land is really, really good, but the people are too big and we can't take it. And they convince the whole nation to not go in and take the promised land. Joshua and Caleb tried to tell the people, we can do it with God's help, but they didn't listen. And because of that, they spend the next 38 years in the wilderness. And because of that, the 10 spies that were not faithful, they died right then. And then Joshua and Caleb watched the rest of their family, their friends, and all their fellow believers there die in the desert over the next 38 years. If you were 20 years of age or older, I have a weird brain that thinks different ways. How would you have felt if your 20th birthday had been the day before this proclamation? What about if your birthday was the very next day? Whew, I'd be thinking that right here. My brain's weird that way sometimes. We have the water from the rock, part one and part two. First time Moses is told to use a staff to strike the rock. The second time he's told only to speak, but he strikes the rock twice with his staff. And because of that, he can't go into the promised land. But he gets to see it in Deuteronomy chapter 34. God lets him go up to the mountain, and Moses becomes the Walmart greeter of the Israelite people as they go into the promised land. He shakes all their hands. He gives them all hugs as they get ready to touch the ground that Moses so desperately wanted to experience firsthand. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 3 that even though Moses had been told he couldn't get in, he asked God one more time in Deuteronomy chapter 3 if he could go in. And I love this because I think it's just like parents when we have little kids at the store. It says, Moses pleaded with God, Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan and the fine hill country and Lebanon. But because you, the Lord, was angry with me and would not listen to me, the Lord said, that is enough. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. Doesn't that sound like a little kid in a candy store? Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I have this? And she finally just says, that's enough. And that's what God tells to him. We see that Moses' funeral and burial is done by God. We read it just earlier that he died in the valley opposite Beth Peor in the land of Moab. But no one knows where his grave is except God and the archangel Michael. And you can read about that, where Satan tried to steal Moses' body, but the archangel Michael defended Moses' body in Jude verse 9. Can you imagine the funeral service that God performed for Moses? A few angels to sing Amazing Grace or I'll Fly Away, but he took care of it himself because that's how special God, Moses was to God. But when we see Moses and he dies, he's 120 years old. He's still strong. He still has good eyes. There's no other prophet like them that could have done all the great things that he could have done. But God decided that his life was over. So how'd I do? Did I make it in less than 10 minutes, Lynn? That's an hourglass, so you'll have to check on that a little bit later, all right? So what's some takeaways from the life of Moses that will help us in our times of doubt and struggle? This is where you get involved. You can fill in on your bulletin. The first takeaway is one mistake doesn't define you in the eyes of God. How many times do you think Moses thought about everything he had lost and the family he ran away from, kicking himself for his one mistake? If I just kept my temper in check, blaming himself or feeling guilty for what he had done, he had killed someone and ran away, he had left his family, he was tending sheep for 40 years, he had lived in luxury, thought this was his life from now on. You know, others might have written you off, but God wants to write additional chapters to your story. How you start your life doesn't mean that's the way that it's going to end. If you think one event, one mistake can define your life and nothing can change it, look at Moses and remember the grace and power of God. I had a friend named Randy. Came in contact with Randy many years ago at a church that I was serving down around Tuscumbia. Randy struggled with alcohol abuse throughout his life. In fact, the last time I made contact with him, he was just coming out of another rehab facility in Columbia. And I invited Randy to go with me to church down at the Monotol every Sunday. And he fell in love with that little church. His faith began to grow. And just as it was growing, he contracted lung cancer. He tried to battle it for a few months, but it overcame him. In the last few months, or the last few weeks, he texted me a couple messages. One of them, he just said, hey, Russ, I'm really scared right now. Could you just come over and talk to me? And then the last text message, which I still have on my phone, he sent to me and says, Russ, could you just come over and talk to me a little bit about heaven? Randy had made a lot of mistakes in his life. He had made a faith decision early in his life, and he had kind of wandered away, but he came back that last year or two of his life because he knew that God looked at him as something of value, even though he had made a lot of mistakes. So number one, one mistake doesn't define you in the eyes of God. Number two, your takeaway is your wilderness experience is preparation. If you're going through the desert and you're in wilderness right now, God is preparing you to be able to lead others through their desert and wilderness in the future. Moses spent 40 years learning the same land that he would take the Israelites on 40 years later. He learned every watering hole, every good grazing spot, every trail, knew all the dangerous areas, the best places to camp, where to get shade, how to heal wounds, and how to take care of the people. But you know, God didn't reveal his purpose for Moses until the 40 years was over. Don't you think it would have been nice if Moses would have kind of given him a little hint about 20 years in? I know this is boring. I know this is hard work. I know where you came from. But man, if you just hang in there, I got something special for you. But he didn't let him know until that 40 years was over. Many times when we're going through the desert, we don't find out what the purpose is until we're gone through the desert. Moses was far away from where he wanted to be. He had learned humility in his 40 years of taking care of sheep. He had everything, and now he had nothing. All he had was smelly, dirty, dusty sheep. But God was preparing him something greater. We have two sets of really good friends in Portland, Indiana, a little church that we served at as youth minister way back when we first were married. Jeff and Kay and Eldon and Sylvia. Both of them experienced the heartbreak of losing a child during pregnancy. Eldon and Sylvia had it happen to them 20 years before Jeff and Kay. But when Jeff and Kay went through that desert themselves, Eldon and Sylvia were right there to help support them because they knew that pain, but they also knew that God could bring them through that pain and bring them through to the other side. One of my bosses at Columbia College, Bruce, has a son that struggles with painkiller addiction. He was injured during his high school football career and got addicted to painkillers. Bruce sent his son off to different rehab facilities, but it has been a constant struggle. During all this, Bruce and his wife discovered a support group in Columbia to help them with that issue. But also during that time, Bruce started exercising at the Ark in Columbia. For a year, he exercised with another gentleman. They never exchanged words. They just looked at each other. And finally, after a year, Bruce struck up a conversation. The other man confided in Bruce that he had a son struggling with painkiller addiction. And he thought him and his wife were the only parents going through the same thing. Then Bruce said, "You're not alone. We have a support group." And now those two sons, the son of each one of those families, are roommates working on their addiction recovery together. Your wilderness is preparation. You might be in the middle in the wilderness and you can't see where you came from. You can't see where the end is, but you know God is there with you each and every day to guide you through. The third takeaway is that spiritual maturity comes from God's words. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. Moses said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By then you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Catch that one sentence in there? These are not just idle words. They are your life. Do you view God's word, this Bible, in that fashion? We'll talk more about that next Sunday. I've got a homework assignment for you. Read Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, and 8 before next Sunday, and you'll be all prepared for the sermon. But when we listen, and when we soak in, and when we obey God's word, it brings us spiritual maturity. Moses wasn't the same man spiritually at the end of his life that he was at the beginning, because he spent time with God. It says he talked with God as a friend face to face. Moses didn't understand why he couldn't get in the promised land, but he accepted God's will for his life. We all have questions about the whys of life, but we trust in God's plan. All things work together for good for those who love God and called according to the purpose. We might not be able to see the big picture, but we know the one that's in control, and we put our faith in him. The fourth takeaway is life changes without notice. 80 years old when God calls him for another purpose. Just tending to his sheep like every other day for the last 40 years when his life changed forever. Moses didn't want to change. We don't want to change. He tried every excuse to get out of it. I'm not a good speaker. What if they don't believe me? You know, send somebody else, finally. Moses' life was comfortable. He knew it was going to be difficult outside of his comfort zone, but God saw what he could do. He does the same with us, doesn't he? We don't like change, but God has great plans for you in this church here this morning and in the future. God will give us the tools to be successful when our lives change without notice. He gave Moses a staff. He gave Moses a companion. And he gave Moses a hand that could do magic. What has he given you to be his powerful servant in this congregation? And the final takeaway is, you don't always get what you want. Doesn't that sound like a Rolling Stones lyric right there? I won't break into the strut and I won't break into the song. But 40 years of leading a stubborn, complaining, whining people, and what was his payoff? He gets to watch others go into the promised land without him. He got to see it. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." Not sure if that I would want that to happen to me. But see, Moses deserved it, don't we think? He was the most humble man on the face of the earth, all because he struck the rock with his staff, just like he did the previous time. But now that mistake keeps him out of what he most desired. He was only 6 miles away. He could almost taste it. It's like having that 66 red Mustang convertible or that 57 red and white Corvette or that Lamborghini. And God says, you know, you can look at it. You can drool over it. You can do everything you want to it, but you can't drive it. That isn't fair in our opinion, is it? We have all felt the same way at many times in our lives. A loved one dies. We contract a disease. There's an accident. A relationship ends through no fault of our own. Life isn't fair. God isn't fair sometimes, we feel, but God gives us what we need. His presence, a relationship with him for eternity, his love and his mercy. Where do we see Moses next in Scripture? We read it earlier. Where do we see Moses centuries later? Where's he at? He's with Jesus and Elijah at the Transfiguration. And where did the Transfiguration take place? The Promised Land. It didn't happen in Moses' time. It happened in God's time. And guess who was his tour guide to the Promised Land? Jesus himself. A lot of things happen in our lives, not in the time that we want it to happen, but God gives us something better than we could ever imagine. His presence for eternity in heaven. The life of Moses shows us God is in the business of redeeming broken people and making them objects of value. We have those people all around us. You might feel like that person today. God took a murderer, a man on the run, a man who lost everything, all alone, but God chose him to be the greatest prophet that pointed everyone to the Messiah. What does God want to do with you? Only God can make the eternal changes in our lives necessary that will fulfill the purpose he has for each one of us. But how can all this happen? You have to meet Jesus face to face. Instead of meeting God at the burning bush, we meet Jesus at the foot of the cross and at the empty tomb to receive forgiveness, to make him the Lord of our lives and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Once we do that, we have the power and relationship with his Son to do the great things that he has planned for us, just as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Are you in the wilderness today? Don't think life is fair? You've made too many mistakes and God has forgotten you? Think of Moses. He points us to Jesus. Have you confessed him as Lord? Repented of your sins? Been baptized in his name? If you have something on your heart that you need someone to talk to or someone just to come alongside you, someone to just pray for you or to listen to you, please make contact with me. I'll be in the back. Renee will have my contact info in the bulletin next week, or you can just contact the church office until then. May God bless each one of you with his presence and his power.
Thanks for listening to A Time of Hope. Just a reminder, you're always welcome to worship with us. Sunday school's at 9:30 this morning and church is at 10:30. Now we close with Pastor Cobb's closing prayer.
Good Father, to sing, good to pray together. Father, good to worship together, to get encouragement together, Father, for this life is hard. We're thankful for Moses to see all the things that he went through in his life, and God still saw him as something of value, Father. And we're thankful for that. And we pray, Father, that we always know that we're objects of value to you because of the forgiveness we get in Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, that we look to do great things together. But, Father, give us safety, be it those ones that are not with us today. Thankful for the ones that have gone ahead of us. And thank you for all the talents that make this worship service possible each and every Sunday. Father, we're thankful for your Son that makes it all possible. And we ask that in his name, amen.